We are back, baby, with another news from the queue. Excited to be back on the mics. We took we had a weekend off last weekend, but we're back on the mics, and we're going to talk about what we were doing last weekend, because we did a lot of fun stuff, and that's what today's episode will be about. So before we dig into it, I'm Paul from Destination Geek on YouTube, Destination Geek HQ on TikTok and Instagram, and I am joined by...
Senor Eddie from Eddietainment, and it's Eddietainment on YouTube, Eddietainment 1 on everything else, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, I think that's everything. X. I always forget what that's called now.
Twitter. It's always going to be Twitter in my heart.
I know, right? I missed the little bird. The little bird mascot was actually pretty cool.
Like, it was a tweet. Like, what do you call them now? X's? I guess they're just called posts.
I guess just post lame. You can post on any platform.
Exactly.
But you can only tweet on one.
Well, Eddie, I don't know if you notice, Eddie is crisp, clear. His camera's not moving. He's got a new computer.
He looks sharp. Sir. You know, funny enough.
It made your hair darker, Eddie. I'm just
asking. You little observant man, you. But I was going to say, it's funny enough, I got this new computer, and it's like ever since I got it, everything has been working against me to like actually like allow me to play with it and get used to it. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really gotten familiarized with the new laptop. Of course, it's the same as the one before, but a little bit different with like updated stuff. And I also need to transfer a lot of stuff. But yep, new computer finally. My computer was struggling to edit all the 4K videos now. I think it reached the end of the line.
You're ready for 12K video.
I did get do a lot of research for this. It could edit up to 8K for sure. So
okay,
yeah, I'll be excited. You know,
I got a new camera for my YouTube stuff. So I got the Insta 360. What is it called? It's like the Insta 360. Oh, it begins with an L. But basically Insta 360 put out a new camera that is. Luna, the Insta 360 Luna, which is it is done in partnership with a really popular moon? Camera company. Well, it's with Leica, Leica.
Oh yeah, the Leica, I think is how it's pronounced.
Leica. So Leica does. So they partnered with Leica and they put together this camera that is very similar to like the DJI little stick Osmo that a lot of folks, a lot of vloggers use, and I used. But this one has multiple lenses, so it actually has zoom capability, which the Osmo did not. So this has, I think, up to 6x zoom. It has a detachable screen, so I can actually set the camera up.
Oh, that's right. Peter McKinnon had done the little clip about it, and we talked about it.
Nice. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, it came in this week. And unlike the new DJI Osmo 2 or whatever, the new iteration, this one you can actually buy in the United States. Because the new DJI, is considered drone, and it's manufactured in China, so it can't be sold in the United States. You have to go like to Canada or something to get it. Whereas this one I can just order from Best Buy like I did. So
nice.
Yeah, nice. So if you watch my new videos, so if you saw my Busch Gardens video or my King's Dominion video as of this recording, those were recorded on this camera. Most don't care, but I'm very happy with my new camera.
Yeah,
and it does some really good low light stuff, so I'm really looking forward to season.
Halloween Horror Nights, baby. And now that we've thoroughly tested your patience, and for those of you that have actually stuck around, we are going to be talking about other stuff except for nerding out for a second there.
Camera stuff. You guys love camera stuff.
Do they? No. Hopefully.
Not even a little bit.
If not, five of them are left, and we appreciate you guys.
Exactly. Thanks for the view. But if you do, like, comment down below if you are interested in learning kind of. Because sometimes people do ask, like, hey, what did you record this on? So anyway, that's besides the point. Yes. So over these last few weeks, lots of theme park news, lots of theme park experiences. We're going to start with our favorite, talk a little bit about Busch Gardens. I went to King's Dominion for the first time in 3 years last weekend, and for the first time during the day in probably like 6 years. I'll talk a little bit about that, and we've got some Six Flags news and things like that to share. So this is just kind of what's new in theme park world with Paul and Eddie.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you a question, man. Like you went to the drone show, you went to the Kinetics, you saw all the things new at Busch Gardens this summer.
Yes. Yes, I did. And I got to say, Busch always does something for the summer, right? But it kind of feels like that's exactly what they're doing. They're just making sure that they do something for the summer. Not saying that what they do isn't great, but it'll be like the fireworks show, and that's about it. Or there'll be like a show that we've seen now year over year. And now we got two new shows. Kinetics is kind of a returning show, but also a new iteration of a returning show. I never saw it. Did you see it? The original Kinetics?
No, I never saw the original. I mean, if I did, I don't remember it.
Gotcha. And for the preview, they also gave us some like insights on the team and like all the work that went into it. And some of the members of the team actually came from, I believe Tampa had the most recent iteration of Kinetics, came over to Busch Gardens Williamsburg. So a lot going into that show. And I didn't expect much, and maybe that's why I was so blown away. I just kind of went into it like blindly. I had never heard of Kinetics. I kept on like seeing the name pop up here and there, but I didn't do much research. But a lot is going on. It's like acrobatics, musicians. They have like different performers doing like hula hoop tricks and all this stuff. It was crazy. And like my meter on how good a show is these days, or how engaging a show is these days, is Ollie. Monique and Ollie were there. Obviously, we're adults. We have attention span. We could actually pay attention to stuff. But Ollie can be easily distracted if something's not entertaining. Boy was focused.
All right.
He was absolutely focused from beginning to end. I think the run of the show is about like 20 to 25 minutes. But super cool. The vocalists at Busch Gardens have always shown up for all the shows. Fiends, I can't think of another show name, but besides Fiends, but you know, there's many other shows. The vocalists
Skeletons
always show up.
In your closet. That show's baller. You know,
Skeletons, yeah. In your closet. And then what's the Irish show?
Oh, the Celtic Fire?
Celtic Fire. There we go. The vocalists never let down, I guess is what I would say. But the show is pretty darn spectacular. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I look forward to enjoying it again. And one of the big things that I probably am just talking way too much, but
this is what it's a podcast. This is what people came to see.
Yeah. One of the big things about the entertainment is this is specifically to keep you to the end of the day. Right? Kinetics doesn't run throughout the day. It's one show at the end of the day.
Okay.
Same thing with the drone show, which makes sense for the drone show, but it's one show at the end of the day. There is other shows going on throughout the day. Celtic Fire, I think, is still running, and then Across the Pond is still running, but this particular show is meant to keep you to the end of the day. And I think that that's telling to what Busch Gardens is trying to do with these shows. There's no way people are going to stick around without providing a quality show for people to stick around for. Mm-hmm. And I think they hit the mark with this one. Any questions about it?
You mentioned Celtic Fire. Full disclosure, I've never seen Celtic Fire. I feel horrible about that because I know it's like award-winning and wonderful and stuff like that. I don't tend to watch shows at theme parks. Like, I know a lot of people love Universal Studios Hollywood Waterworld show. You know, I know, you know, like Halloween Horror Nights has the something burning fuel. What is the nightmare fuel?
Oh, I hate
shows at Halloween stuff. Like, I'm not a show guy, and I don't know why, because I love Broadway and I love musical theater. But for some reason, like when it comes to theme parks, I want to eat, I want to ride rides, I want to have fun, and I just tend to not go to gravitate towards the shows. You know, which is why things like Hollow Scream and Food and Wine Festival appeal more to me than Christmastown, because Christmastown is all about the shows, right? And I feel like once you've seen a show once, you've seen a show. Whereas I feel like I could ride for Bolton, you know, every time I go. So it's just one of those things. I don't know. Yeah, I've never seen Celtic Fyre, and I did not get a chance, unfortunately, to see Kinetics when I went. I don't even know if it was running the night I went, but we'll get into that. Before we get into that, you know, Eddie, you were at that preview event that not only did you see Kinetics, which I'm hearing positive things about, but you said the drone show was pretty slick.
The Summer of Wonder drone show, I believe, is the name of it. And that drone show is pretty awesome. I gotta lead with the caveat that I don't think I've ever seen a drone show that's not good.
I don't know that I've ever seen a drone show. Right now it sounds like I don't even leave my house. I've never seen.
Where have you been all these days?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen a drone show in person.
That's wild.
Yeah, I can't think of one. That's weird.
So I've seen a couple of them. Most notably, probably the 50th anniversary one for Carowinds when they had that, I think like 2 or 3 years back. I got to see that. But this one at Busch Gardens is super cool because it pays homage to all the rides and different events. It also pays homage to the 250th anniversary with like different like scenic things that you see. And it also has like ambient music going around that's playing to what's going on in the sky. It's funny because like to start the show, you know when the show's gonna start, right? They have like a time and everything's like synchronized. So like 5 minutes before the show starts, all you hear is all of the drones with no lights on positioning themselves, right? And then the show begins. You see the Big Bad Wolf, and this was one of the ones that was really cool to me. And it's early on in the show, but when you see the Big Bad Wolf, he becomes three-dimensional. First of all, he's not like just like sitting in front of you like an etch and sketch. No, he moves like this, and you see his like snout change from side to front view type of thing, which is really cool. Gives this three-dimensional like feel in the sky. But they also had lightning bolts going off around him, and the audible music around you played perfectly to the lightning bolts, I thought was super cool. You see Loch Ness up in the air. I don't want to ruin it for people, but you get to see a lot of the like major figures around the park be displayed. You even get to see one of our like favorite coasters with an actual coaster vehicle moving through the track. It was stupendous. I gotta say, I love what Busch Gardens is doing. For the past 3 years, whether a hit or a miss, you can't deny that Busch Gardens has been putting forth the effort to improve, and these two shows show that without a doubt.
Awesome.
I sound like I'm glazing, but I really mean it.
Yeah, no, and Eddie put out a video about this on his YouTube channel, so it's whatever the thumbnail is that you see right here is the video about this. I was unable to attend that event. I was not in town for that one. But I came in the next night. And so I came in and I wasn't sure I was going to make it in time, because I flew into Richmond, and you never know how, and my flight was delayed on top of everything. So like, it was a last minute decision. Traffic was on my side, and I was just sitting at my hotel. I'm like, I'm going to do it. So I bought a ticket to Coasters After Dark. So
darn you.
Sorry. I was like, it was totally like, am I going to do this? Let me do it. And it was just because like I was staying at the hotel like 5 minutes down the road from Busch Gardens. And so I was like, let me just go, you know, see, you know. And so you can, Coasters After Dark, the tickets are at least right now $40 a head. So it is a separately ticketed event. Yes, sir. Eddie has a question.
Is that what passholder discount, the $40? I think it was.
I don't, I'm not signed in and I'm looking at the website right now and it says $40.
Okay.
So I think it's just the, I think it's just the price. There actually might be an additional discount if you're a pass member.
I think there is, but I wasn't sure if you purchased it with it or without.
I will tell you, my pass does not work online. When I upgraded my pass a few years back, like for some reason it doesn't work online. I need to get that fixed at some point.
So you miss out on deals
because I miss out on the deals sometimes. Yeah. So, but regardless, $40, and you know, it feels $40 feels like a lot because it's only 9 p.m. to midnight. I want to clarify: you can get into the park starting at 7 p.m., but you have to have a Coasters After Dark ticket after 9.
There's like a scream early ticket for Coasters.
Exactly. And now one of the things I'll say is, so I got the Coasters After Dark ticket. I went to the front gate. They scanned my ticket and I got there around 7:30-ish, give or take. And, you know, at that point of the night, this was a Friday evening. Crowds are thinning out anyway. So most rides were walk on. So I started riding some coasters that were not part of the Coasters After Dark event. So I rode Loch Ness Monster. I rode Griffin. You know, things like that, just to kind of walk around a little bit and hit some of those things that had low wait times. Now, the one thing that I'll say, which is not clear in the thing is, so it was right around 9 o'clock when the Coasters After Dark event was going to start. I think it was like a quarter till that I went over to Verbolten. And I'm like,
I saw your video.
Yeah, I'm going to go ride for Bolton. So I'm in line. I got there around 8:45. 9 o'clock hits. I'm still in line because I'm waiting for the front row. And so they walk up to me and they say, like, I'm literally the next person on the ride. And someone comes up to me and they're like, where's your wristband? I'm like, what wristband? And they're like, you have to have a wristband to ride right now. I'm like, well, I mean, they scanned my, like, I didn't know there was a wristband. And I showed them my ticket. I'm like, I have a ticket. And she's like, my manager says you can't ride the ride. And I'm like, but I have the ticket. And I was in line at 8:45. Like, can I just ride it? And then I'll go get the wristband. And they would not let me ride. I'm like, this damn ride is cursed to me. So I went, I mean, they're just doing their jobs and she's just doing what her manager was telling her to do. I wasn't difficult or anything like that. I was just like, surprised. I was just like, but my ticket's like literally right here. You can see it. So I had to leave the line, go get the wristband. And while I'm walking to get the wristband, it starts drizzling. I'm like, please don't do this. But it all worked out. It didn't rain. So I got my wristband. I got to ride Verbolten. I got it to ride it a few times. So the event I went to, now it does change depending.
Hold up. Yeah. You may have said this already in your other video, which I did watch you having to go back and get your wristband, but what did you think about Verbolten?
I thought Verbolten was awesome. I thought Verbolten was great. I will say it's funny because I have heard people say I thought there was going to be more.
That's crazy.
I will say I don't disagree with them. I don't know. In my head, I thought there was going to be more. But like, if you think about it, there's a lot. And it's mostly like, for me, when I feel like, when I say I thought there was going to be more, before the reveal of the giant tree, it's largely the same. Right. Yeah. Like once you get in the show building. So you've got the billboard, you've got the turning thing, and then you get into the building and it's largely the same. It's just some lighting and a lot of darkness. And then the giant tree and then the car and then the whole Frau Hexel animatronic. But I was like, oh, I kind of thought there would be more before the tree. This is not a complaint, but in my mind, I was like, I don't know. Like, I think I had it like, mostly because this ride has been like evading me. Maybe I just was like, I thought like it was just going to be entirely different. And it's not. It is still a fantastic ride. The tree reveal is absolutely incredible. Yeah. Driving through the mouth of that tree is awesome. It is even more impressive than the Frau Hexel, you know, and ending sequence. But no, I rode it twice. I rode it in the dark. It's very, very cool in the dark, very dark.
I love that ride. And I definitely have heard that criticism, but I think part of that criticism is familiarity with the actual like coaster, because the coaster itself didn't change at all, right? So it's hard not to feel like it's the same. Yeah. But you know, you got the new sign with the arrow, you have the large tree, you have the completely different ending.
And the exterior of the building.
You know, yeah, and the exterior.
I don't know what it was in my head. I mean, I have no complaints. I just don't know. Like, I think I thought there was going to be, I don't know what the more I thought was going to be there. And again, not a complaint, because it is, they did such an amazing job on that ride.
The queue is spectacular.
The queue is spectacular. I wish they had done a little bit something more with the building before the drop to the Rhine River at the very end.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The little shed that you go through.
That's funny. All my update videos, I was like, something's going to happen up there. Something's going to happen up there. And it never ended up happening.
Yeah, no, yeah, and maybe just enclose it a little bit more, because I think like it's because it used to be more enclosed and now it's just kind of like this frame of a building. Maybe enclose it a bit more. But regardless, I'm not complaining, because it is the stuff they did to that ride. You know, I don't know what the more I was hoping for was, because they have done so much to that ride. And regardless of anything, if they did nothing other than add that giant tree, I feel like it would have been a significant change, because that tree is just incredible. I think the bug that they brought into the ride probably could have some better placement, but I feel like that's a little tricky, because you're moving the entire time. So where are they going to put it in a place where you're actually going to see it? Yeah. But regardless, I rode it a few times. I was very happy to finally ride it. No wait times. It was, so the night I went, I was so there are some, not every ride is open, but again, if you can go at 7, you can ride all the coasters that are not part of it. But the night I went, it was for Bolton Forbidden Turn. It was basically, New France through Oktoberfest for Coasters After Dark. So it was for Bolton Forbidden Turn, The Big Bad Wolf, The Wolf's Revenge, Alpengeist, Invader, Dark Coaster, then the bumper cars, Der Autobahn, and Der Wirbelwind, the swing rides. So basically, if you think about like New France is where Invader is, through Oktoberfest, that stuff was open. Now, the next one is on July 24th, and that's actually going to be more along the lines of Festa Italia through Oktoberfest. So it'll still have Verbolten, but it'll have Pantheon, Apollo's Chariot, Tempesto, and the other rides that are in there, Turkish Delight, Tradewind, Battering Ram. Oh, and the Loch Ness Monster will be part of that one.
You know what the crazy thing is? I didn't know until you pointed it out in your video that each Coasters After Dark had a different lineup.
Yeah.
I thought it was the same lineup every single event. Was it like this last year? Do you know?
I don't know. But I will say the one in August is the same as the one I went to. So it's the July one that's technically different, which is cool, though, because, you know, like, I feel like the Festa Italia section of the park is very underrated, because you have three coasters there. I mean, Tempesto sucks, but you've got Pantheon and Apollo's Chariot.
That wallet stealing son of a.
So you have two world-class coasters there. Plus you've got more of all the, like, most of the flat rides in the park, or in that Festa Italia section of the park, right? So I feel like the one on the 24th is actually pretty cool, because you know, Pantheon After Dark sounds like a great experience. I will say I have never ridden Big Bad Wolf After Dark. And it is a totally different experience.
Oh yeah.
After Dark.
It is Big Bad Wolf so is much better.
Yeah. It is spectacular after dark. It's dark, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, some of the theming that you can see more clearly during the day is hard to see at night, but you know, like it's especially if you ride in front, the
wolf eyes.
The wolf eyes on the car like light up the path in front of you. It's just a totally different vibe, and it feels so much faster in the dark. I really thought that was cool.
Yeah, dude, Coasters After Dark is definitely something I wanted to do that week, but I went to the preview event for the drone show and Kinetics, and then on Saturday was the pin trading event, so I didn't want to go 3 days in a row, because Busch Gardens is definitely not conveniently located for me, especially to an event that was going to have me getting home around like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you would have told me that you were going, I think I would have pulled the trigger and just been like, YOLO.
If I had known ahead of time, I would have let you know. If I had known ahead of time, it was everything, you know. So I was in town for family. You know, it was my mom's birthday. It was Father's Day.
In the comments, comment, let Eddie know. All right. If you let think Eddie you should have let
me know. Let Eddie know. Hashtag let Eddie know. And so I went to, but you know, so I was, you know, so I did family stuff. Before I talk about Sunday, how was the pin trading event?
Spectacular, dude. I love it. And it's become such a like new way to experience the park. I definitely recommend if anybody goes to the park frequently or they haven't been in a while and are looking for a reason to go, pin trading is definitely something that's pretty cool. And one of those events, you get to get some pretty unique like items. The park president pins are always given out at those events, and those can't be purchased. You can only get them from either trading with somebody who's seen the park president before and requested one, or requesting it directly through Kevin Lemke, the park president at Busch Gardens, which I think is super cool. And he releases a new one like every so often. So I've shown you them. They're pretty cool. They have the ones for Hallow Scream, for Christmas Town. Right now, the current one is a Highland Cow pin, and the Highland Cows are obviously like a huge mascot of Busch Gardens. So yeah, it's a great time. And the best part about it is Ollie loves it too. And he's grown a pretty decent pin collection. I posted up a picture of his collection and his new items from that event on our Instagram. So check it out on there so you can see. But yeah, his collection has gotten so big that I actually had to buy him a new pin book. Because he's already filled it up.
Look at that. I know. You know, like, I'm one of those people, you know, you can see behind me, or if you're listening to the podcast on your favorite podcast provider, you can't. But I'm a guy who collects things. Like, I just like collecting things. I'm not a hoarder, but I like collecting. So when I get into something, whether it be shoes or hats or, you know, behind me I've got, I think, horror movie stuff. Yeah. Like, I get into it. And so there are things that I'm like, fighting.
Don't tempt yourself.
Don't tempt myself. Pins, baseball cards. Like, I don't know why. I don't even like baseball, but for some reason, probably because Instagram keeps pushing the crap to me, I'm like, well, what about these types of trading cards instead? And like, I don't want to be one of those crazy guys, you know, at Target, like getting into fist fights over Pokemon cards, but like, but like sport cards. I don't even know why, but it's like, it's one of these things that like I fight. I told Jen once, like, I could like literally be an obsessive shoe person. Yeah. I have that gene, and I've just been fighting it.
Municipal genes. That's what it is.
Yeah. I got them. Yeah, exactly. So I've got like, I literally have like 15 pairs of municipal sneakers. And you know, that was the straw that broke the camel's back on that one. But yeah, I mean, so I'm fighting the pin trading thing, even though I do have, you know, I've got some pins that you've picked up for me, and I've picked up a couple of pins, you know, throughout the days and stuff like that. And I've got some B23 pins. Oh, there, that's not a pin, that's a keychain.
That's your keychain.
Yes, look at that.
Holding on for you.
So
but yeah, dude, the pin trading thing could definitely get out of control, because I feel like we've collected way too many pins in way too short of a time. But I will say, now that I've done the pin trading thing, I even did a video doing like the deep dive into pin trading. So if anybody's interested, go check it out, because it really does break down the little different things about, I don't know what the word to make this sound fancy, but basically it could be a little intimidating to go to one of the pin trading events and not know how to go, because you should buy pins the day of, because that receipt will allow you the ability to play games that could potentially get you like rare pins. There's a lot to it, but now when I go to the parks, I like to just pop into the stores and look at their pin boards. Even if I don't trade a pin, I'm excited for the potential that there might be something cool on that board. But I walk out of the park perfectly fine without an issue if there isn't a pin to trade on there. But I will stop at all the stores that I know have pin boards just to check it out. So it's like a new way to experience going to Busch Gardens Williamsburg. And we're going to be making our way down to Florida for Ollie's birthday at the end of the month, and SeaWorld does it too. So I'm excited to take him to SeaWorld so that he could see it. And they're gonna have Baby Shark. So he's gonna have a blast. Yeah. Yeah, the pin trading stuff is fun. I love it. The event, what was it, 2 weeks ago was amazing. Was it last week?
Last weekend.
Oh,
as
shoot.
Of this recording. I know, it all runs together. Well, and then, you know, so Sunday, and you know, I mentioned this earlier, I went to King's Dominion. Again, it was just kind of this last minute thing because my family stuff wrapped up on Saturday. So Sunday morning, I had a couple of hours to kill. I thought King's Dominion opened at 10. It does not. It opens at 11. And rain was scheduled to come in around 1:30, and it promptly came in at 1:30. Yeah. So I was able to get 2 hours in at King's Dominion that morning, and largely focused on the area of the park I had not really done much in before, which was the Jungle Expedition side of the park.
Oh yeah.
So I've got a video up on my YouTube channel. It's up there now as of the time that you will be watching this. And so I got to ride Raptera. I got to ride Pantherian. I got to ride them all. I got to ride everything twice, except I rode Tumbili once because it only really deserves to be ridden once. and I rode Reptilian once because it broke me.
I love Reptilian, by the way. Super unique ride for a theme park.
Oh yeah, it's like the bobsled ride. And I used to love it when it was Avalanche, when I was like eight, as a 46-year-old man. It does not feel the same.
Yeah, but I never want to see that ride go away. It's
no, so I think it's cool, great. I think unique. It is so unique. Yeah, it is. It's gravity, basically. It is a bobsled, and it's very cool.
I'm glad they so green.
Yeah, exactly. They've rethemed everything in that section of the park to Jungle Expedition, because the what used to be the Outer Limits Flight of Fear it's still the Flight of Fear, but now it's part of the Jungle Expedition. It's like the Way Foundation, and it's mm-hmm. you know, they've incorporated into that whole Jungle Expedition theme, which I think is great. I think that area of the park is fantastic. I think, you know, I talk about this a little bit in my video. Raptera is very similar to Gatekeeper at Cedar mm-hmm. Point, and Pantherian is a rethemed version of the Intimidator 305, which was always a stellar coaster. You know, I would put it comparable to like Millennium Force at Cedar Point for you know, because Six Flags parks, you know, that kind of thing. Even though these are technically both were Cedar Fair parks, but now they're all Six Flags. But yeah, I think, you know, that area of the park, the Jungle Expedition, is fantastic. I think Raptera is incredible. I think the ride is not only great, but the theming of the queue and, you know, the theming that they've incorporated to the ride, you know, I was genuinely impressed to see that level of quality at King's Dominion, frankly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the theming on that section of the park, and grabbed a bite to eat. I grabbed some tri-tip at like the Outpost Cafe. It was delicious.
Yep.
Super flavorful.
Mostly for a theme park, the quality of food that they have at the park is spectacular. Raptera is a great ride. I will say it's gotten a little bit shaky in certain seats. Like for me, I have to ride like first row.
Yeah.
If not, it could be a little rough for me. Definitely the back row, outside.
I ride front row, left and right. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you ride the back row, and like some people like it, so I'm not gonna say it's terrible. It's terrible for me though, because it actually does invoke a little bit of like nausea if I ride the back row and I sit on the outside of the wing, because the wing actually bounces.
Oh, okay.
So, and for some people that might be cool, right? Because I have heard that people like sitting in the back row. But when I rode in the back row, it was a completely different experience in the front row. But every single time I've ridden the front row on Raptera, it's been spectacular. I enjoy that ride greatly. I think if you're sitting in the front row, it's almost like a first person point of view of your hands, and you're looking at like, you know, like a POV of you going through like the crowd and interacting with like the courtyard area. It's really cool. You bring up a cool comparison with Gatekeeper. One of the big gripes that people have had with Raptera is that it doesn't have any like keyhole elements to it like Gatekeeper does, which is like a big thing for wing coasters, is these keyhole elements. I've only ever experienced Gatekeeper before, so it's the only one that I know, and it does have the keyhole elements. Raptera does not, but I don't know or don't feel that it takes away too much from the ride experience.
No, I mean, I think the ride's great. I think they, and unlike Gatekeeper, Raptera has like a quick launch. Right, because I think Gatekeeper is a you know, one of those like
chain lift,
and then yeah, chain lift. Whereas this is more of like a launch coaster. So I think it's a great ride. I think Pantherian has always been an incredible roller coaster, and it is probably the fastest roller coaster in the state of Virginia. Because it goes like 90 something miles an hour, and I cannot think of any other coaster in Virginia that goes above like 60 or 70. Even Big Bad Wolf, or Loch Ness, even Loch Ness, or yeah. Pantheon. So I think it is the fastest coaster in the state of Virginia.
Right. I think you're right. And it also has a reputation of being like the most extreme coaster in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, because it did like kill someone or something, or people used to pass out on it.
Yeah, so one a little history on I-305 is it opened up, and originally, the whole like I'm going even further back. The whole theming with Dale Earnhardt and all that fun stuff wasn't intended. They were going to call it Intimidator 305, but Dale Earnhardt and his family has the rights to the Intimidator name. So basically they were forced to, which is the reason why the name ended up changing, because that contract came to an end. They decided not to renew. But when the ride first opened up, I think it was like 30 days, and then they had to close it down for like retracking because people were
blacking out. Yeah. Cause it was too intense. Yeah. So that first lift hill, I think, has a greater than 90 degree drop, or maybe not anymore, but basically like the first drop, and then like there's a turn, that occurs.
The G-forces
and
are heavy.
Yeah, the G-forces are heavy, and they had to soften them. They literally had to adjust them because people were blacking out. I said someone died. Like, no one died, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think anybody died, at least not from that. But people still gray out, even after all the retraction.
Yeah, people still gray out, for sure, on the ride. I don't tend to do that. I'm just, I don't know, maybe I just...
You're too manly.
It's just not my thing. Yeah, I mean, far too manly for that to happen. But it is... It's a fantastic coaster, and like one of the most intense ones. You know, it's definitely, you know, and I know I've been mentioning Cedar Point and stuff like that. It's because, you know, since I moved to the Midwest, it has opened up this whole additional world of theme parks and roller coasters and stuff like that. And the roller coasters here in the Midwest are like nothing else I've ridden. Like the intensity, the speed, you know, things like Top Thrill and Steel Vengeance and Millennium Force. But like, I would say the closest thing to that on the East Coast is your Pantherian, and it's a great coaster. And that whole section, that whole Jungle Expedition section of the park, you know, I rode that one front and back. I rode Raptera twice. I rode those two other coasters. I got a bite to eat, knocked all that out in about 2 hours, and you know, literally started walking out as the rain came in, so it was kind of perfect timing. I mean, I have, you know, Kings Dominion is a fun park already. I haven't, you know, like I said, I haven't been there in years besides Halloween Haunt. So I look forward to, like, going there was a nice taste of like, I would love to get back. Now, there's a lot of wooden coasters, which aren't my jam. But I another confession, in addition to never having seen Celtic Fire, I have never ridden Twisted Timbers. What's the...
Twisted Timbers? Are you kidding me? That's not even a Woody.
But it was the Hurler.
The Hurler's gross.
I haven't ridden Twisted Timbers.
If you ever want to experience the Hurler, I never experienced it at King's Dominion, but it still exists at Carowinds. So if you ever want to see how bad Twisted Timbers was before, Carowinds still has it in its original shape. They haven't RMC'd it, but Twisted Timbers being RMC'd, you'd be impressed. Did you ride Steel Vengeance?
Oh yeah.
And what'd you think of that?
Steel Vengeance is just the most insane roller coaster I think I've ever been on. But yeah, I really do want to ride Twisted Timbers. I rode, I think it's called, what's the one in Kings Tampa? Island? Is it?
Oh, Kings Island.
Isn't that Mystic Timbers or something like that?
Maybe something like that.
The one, it's got like a shed at the end with like a giant bat kind of thing. I don't know if it's a similar ride, but no, I've never ridden Twisted Timbers. So, I mean, again, I rode the Hurler. But, you know, I have ridden the Grizzly. I don't ever need to ride the Grizzly again. I don't ever need to ride. It used to be the Rebel Yell. Now I think it's Racer 75.
Yeah, Racer 75. They're both a lot smoother these days, by the way.
Are they really, though?
Yeah, the Grizzly got retracked 3 years ago, I think. And it's pretty darn smooth. It's nice. And okay. So did
that was the whole Racer point of Grizzly, is that it was supposed to like slap you around like a grizzly bear. I mean, that used to be its whole shtick. And that's why I I'm not a wooden coaster guy, because they just like shake you and beat you. But yeah, no. So I haven't ridden any of those. Like I said, it's been years before since I've ridden any of those. But the one I still need to ride Twisted Timbers. That like next time.
Yeah,
you gotta ride Twisted Timbers. We'll regroup.
If you like Steel Vengeance, then Twisted Timbers is gonna be a mini version of it. It's nowhere near as long, nowhere near as intense. Because Steel Vengeance has a 200-foot drop, so it's a pretty intense hybrid coaster. But we've talked all your experience. People check out his video over at King's Dominion. Paul doesn't go to King's Dominion too often, so if you're looking at it at a different perspective of the park, that'll be your guy. But this is a perfect segue, right? So we're talking Six Flags Parks. Six Flags Parks has been doing something a little fun. Actually, as we're speaking now, they may have made an announcement.
No, I think we are literally recording this an hour before the announcement. But I think we can, you know, what we'll do is we'll talk about what I think the announcement is, and then I'll like interject a little segment here. But, you know, in addition to Mr. Kelsey getting married today, he is also an investor and a, what do they call it? Like a brand ambassador?
He is a mascot.
Creepy old man mascot. Of Six Flags.
His spouse has the money to make a difference at a theme park. He does not have the money to make a difference at a theme park.
No.
He can barely build one roller coaster.
That's a good point. King's Dominion is part of the Six Flags family. And so Six Flags, like what Eddie was saying, every Friday as of last Friday, as of this recording, they are doing a Halloween related announcement. And some of them are related to all the parks. Some of them are only related to some parks, but it's basically announcing all their Halloween stuff. And so, you know, last Friday, as of this recording again, the first Friday, they announced that the Conjuring experience would be returning to a number of the Six Flags properties, including Cedar Point, Carowinds, King's Island, a couple of others. They also announced, I think, opening dates of the Halloween events at a number of parks as well. I love that they're doing their own little version of announcement season every Friday on their social medias.
Yeah, and it's working for me. I'm really enjoying it. And they actually gave it a cool name or a cool like little tagline. It's "Summer is not what it screams." And that's
nice.
That's what their event's being called. Because I had, when they first like announced it, I posted about it, and that stuck out to me. Summer is not what it screams, and they're gonna be doing these announcements every single Friday. The Conjuring, they've already had, but now they're saying that it's returning. Also, when I was over doing the hard hat tour for the new Log Flume ride at Carowinds, they were hinting at, in addition to their Conjuring experience, they may be getting something else. So Carowinds may be the park to attend, or one of the top tier parks may be the ones to attend, because they're probably going to have a hell of an experience. I'm just crossing my fingers that somewhere along the line of this summer, they make an announcement for King's Dominion. Fingers crossed.
I would like to see King's Dominion get something. You know, I feel like it deserves something. But especially now that I've been to King's Island, right? So King's Island is down in Mason, Ohio area, and basically very similar layout, including the Eiffel Tower and the entry pathway to King's Dominion. So I was like, whoa, it's kind of similar. But they get the big stuff, right? Like they had the Conjuring experience last year. They also had Order of the Dragon, which was not an upcharge experience, but it was their new haunted house last year. Straight up Halloween Horror Nights level soundstage quality house. I mean, just an incredible house. Unfortunately, you know, they don't allow filming in their houses. There may be some footage online Not on my video. I didn't do it Six Flags. But it's just an incredible video or an incredible house. But yeah, I mean, I think, and today, again, we're recording this on Friday, July 3rd. I think today what they're going to announce is that these Strangers will be featured at certain Six Flags parks this year as part of their Halloween events.
Oh, and so, I thought you said Stranger Things in your post.
No. I thought I tagged the Strangers. I don't know. But the Strangers is what I meant. So the Strangers, you know, is that like there's been five movies. There was the Strangers, I think Prey at Night. There was, and now there was the recent trilogy. There were like Strangers chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. And it's about like these like masked people who like did this home invasion and stalked these people. It's the first movie's actually really great. The first two movies are fantastic. I would not recommend seeing the new trilogy.
Yeah,
it's not great. But yeah, so they last year Six Flags Over Texas, I think, or a couple of Six Flags parks have had haunted houses based on the Strangers franchise in the past. I see Six Flags Over Texas had one last year called The Strangers No Escape. So I think what today's announcement will be is that the Strangers No Escape will be returning maybe to more Six Flags parks than just the one in Texas. But it's a cool property. I mean, the characters are pretty slick looking. I think there's a great opportunity to expand that to other parks.
Yeah. I for some reason, when I read it, I just looked at your post again. You definitely did tag the Strangers movie. I read okay. Stranger Things, and I was like, wait, didn't they already have Stranger Things? Because they did. They had Stranger Things at some of their parks.
They did.
Yeah,
they had the, remember that the year they had like all the properties, right? They had like
Warner Brothers stuff. They had like Saw, Stranger Things, The Conjuring, they had everything.
Texas Chainsaw. I think did they have Texas Chainsaw?
Maybe. I don't remember. But they had a pretty like serious lineup. I was like, dude, what is going on right now? Six Flags with the IP, yeah. The top level IP.
Is fantastic. Like, good for them.
I know.
Yeah.
I didn't get to experience any of those, and I haven't been able to experience the Conjuring experience. I keep on hearing how amazing it is. I know that you got to experience it. I'm just hoping that
you got to, Eddie. You've got to. It is awesome. It is awesome.
I know. It better return this year for Carowinds, Scarewinds. It'll be even better if the first time I get to experience it over at King's Dominion. And King's Dominion Haunt, man, I've had some great experiences at King's Dominion's Haunt in the past. More recently, not the best, but I'm holding out hope. It does seem like this year they're trying to reinvest, but they're not part of that top 10 park lineup, which has me worried about how much effort is truly going to be put into it. But fingers crossed. Halloween Haunt is one of my favorite times of the year. I love bringing you guys along for the haunt season, and that's one of the parks that we always hit, but it's definitely been missing a little something for like the past couple years. You've experienced haunt over at King's Dominion, or sorry, King's Island. You've experienced haunt over here too
at King's Dominion?
Yes.
Not since 2023.
Well,
that was the last time I was there.
2023 probably would have been a good year to go though. So comparing that year to your King's Island experience, what would you say?
I would say they're comparable. I would say, you know, I would say that when it comes to King's Island, and frankly, even Cedar Point, I would say the haunted house experiences are comparable, with the exceptions being the Conjuring House. And but that was an upcharge experience. That's a separately paid experience. They touch you, you interact, there's escape room elements, that kind of thing. And Order of the Dragon just blew me away at King's Island. But other than that, I would say the haunted house experiences are pretty comparable between the parks. You know, they even have like similar themes. Like I think Cedar Point, I'm trying to keep it all straight, but I think Cedar Point had a Corn Stalkers maze that was actually really, they both had Corn Stalkers. Cedar Points was excellent because it was actually in a corn maze. King's Island was not so great. So you know, I think, you know, it, but I would say there, I would say the Six Flags haunt experiences, unless you're going to one that genuinely has intellectual property houses like the ones in California you know, they have like DC Comics and some, you know, movie based stuff. The original stuff is all pretty comparable.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll make it up your way this year. We'll see.
Yeah, man.
But come on up. I did last year, what's it called? Dorney. And dude, that their haunt there was pretty spectacular. And one particular house, the park itself, the layout of the park was really weird because like nothing was circular. Like you can't just keep going. Everything was like these legs that you have to go to the end and come back.
That's kind of how Cedar Point is a little bit in some areas too. Like I know it's a peninsula, but like there are sections that definitely like jut off into nothing.
Yeah, and then you just got to walk all the way back, which was kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. But so like getting from house to house definitely took a lot longer than I feel like it should. But the houses at Dorney were spectacular. I'm definitely going back this year. Did you get the gold or prestige pass this year?
I don't know. What's the bigger one? I have the prestige pass. Yes, I have the prestige pass, so I can go to any of them.
Okay, nice. I could go to any of them also because I got the VIP sale for gold last year. So it includes all the parks. But yeah, I need to mix it up. I'm excited for what Six Flags is doing. And that's probably the first time I've ever said I'm excited for anything Six Flags.
You know,
literally, you guys know
why, Eddie?
What's that?
Because of Travis Kelce.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, yeah, right.
Because of Mr. Taylor Swift.
I have been making
money moves.
Yeah, I have been severely disappointed with this merger, and I feel like it's like it was a death sentence for Cedar Fair, and they were great before on their own.
Using a roller coaster metaphor, I feel like after the initial purchase, we had a bit of a nosedive, and I feel like we're on the chain. We're not on a launch. We're on a chain lift right now, and it's inching up. You know, we've got they're struggling a little bit, right? They've had ride delays like Tormenta in Six Flags over. I think it was Six Flags over Texas had delays. Things like that, but I feel like they're really investing in these parks, whether it be in intellectual property houses, new amazing roller coasters and rides. So I think, you know, we had Phantom Manor at Kings Island, or Phantom Theater, correct me, Phantom Theater at Kings Island. Like, I think we're on the upswing again, and I think we'll see some cool stuff out of these parks in the next 3 years.
I hope so. I feel like there is something there and they're trying. Whether or not they will pull it off well, we'll see. But I do think, and this could kind of be a segue to another thing that we could talk about, is they've created a new culture within the amusement theme park segment where now it's okay to close parks. And I think, you know, Fun Spot is a perfect example of that. Like, I think parks would put in the effort to keep their parks open. They came in, they were like a Capital One. When Capital One got into the banking world, they purchased banks and closed all their offices. They purchased, they came into this merger, closed multiple parks, sold off multiple parks, and now I feel like other chains are now reflecting that new culture of this is okay to do.
Mentioned Fun Spot Atlanta though, you know, closing up. I think it's you know, I think to your point, they're closing. I think people are strengthening their portfolio by removing things that are holding them back. And I think that's what we're seeing in the Six Flags properties. And I it sucks. Don't get me wrong. It sucks when your local park closes. I'm sad Six Flags, it's not local to me anymore, but I'm sad Six Flags America that I went to so many times, had so many wonderful experiences, no longer exists. That being said, it fell into a great state of disrepair over the last few years. And, you know, it was either invest more money than they were probably going to get back or close the park and sell it for parts. And I think they, you know, for what it's worth, they probably made the right business decision there, even though my heart says it, you know, it makes me sad. But, you know, you mentioned Fun Spot, you know, closing. They have a world-class coaster there, supposedly an amazing coaster called Air Force One. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation on where where that roller coaster will go, because apparently it can be transported. It can be taken apart and put back together elsewhere. And you know, one of the rumors I'm hearing is King's Island. They've got a plot of land where a roller coaster used to be that that Air Force One could slot right into.
Well, it's a very, I've heard it's a very unique coaster layout. So in order to fit it anywhere, either people would have to make the space work, because it's a pretty large L shape, or because of the way that it like interacted with the plot of land there, stilts may be needed in order to maintain the coaster layout, however it currently is. That ride needs to be moved somewhere. Somebody needs to pick that ride up and don't let it die off. Because I don't think.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, I felt that way about some of those rides that were at Six Flags America. Like, I'm sad that, you know, Superman, the Ride of Steel. Yeah, mostly Superman. Because I think the Batman coaster, I'm not a big fan of the flying coaster. Joker's Jinx was a great, I love Joker's Jinx. But yeah, Superman, the Ride of Steel is probably the one that I'm like, aw, shame.
And it has the same issue. The way that Superman was set up and the footers caused too much issue and cost to place it at any other park. And I think the RMC over at Air Force One may run into the same issues, but it's so much newer of a coaster that I think it will find a home. Just where? And I don't think either Fun Spot in Orlando or in Florida. There's two other ones, right? I think.
I don't know.
I think there's two in Florida. They may both be in Orlando, but they're in that vicinity. Neither one of them is big enough to actually hold this coaster. So I don't think we'll see it stay Fun Spot.
Yeah, we'll see. What do you guys think? Leave us a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you thought. What you're thinking about coming to Six Flags Parks, what your thoughts are on anything we've talked about in this episode. We talked about Busch Gardens. We talked about King's Dominion. We talked about Six Flags. Eddie, anything else on our docket to talk about today?
Comment down below. Let Eddie know.
Let Eddie know. Hashtag let Eddie know. No, thank you guys for watching. Make sure to give us a thumbs up on this video. It really helps us out. And if you've made it this far, make sure to hit the subscribe button on both of our channels, Destination Geek and Edutainment, so that you are notified when we release our upcoming episodes. We will be talking about Halloween Horror Nights. We'll be talking more about Hollow Weekends and Halloween Haunts and Hollow Screams. I mean, it is like hot and heavy starting now.
Yep.
We saw Haunt Season announcement season was coming. It is starting right now. And we have stuff to talk about, so make sure to stick around for that.
Yeah, and if you made it this far, Busch Gardens Williamsburg may have something in down their sleeve. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh,
or up their sleeve. Up their sleeve. Sorry,
up their sleeve, yeah. Down their sleeve? It'll be down their sleeve. I guess they're holding their hand up. Thank you guys for watching. We will see you in the next episode.